Well, hey, we've been doing a series of messages through the Gospel of Matthew. And so if you have a Bible, open it up to Matthew 9, 35. We're going to be looking at the end of Matthew 9 and the first part of Matthew 10 this morning. And Christy and I are just going to have a conversation. It's a passage that has really shaped a lot of Vineyard ministry. It's a lot of who the Vineyard is, not only here in Duluth, but around the world. And it's a passage that both of us have taught on that's actually influenced the way that we do life and ministry significantly. And so it's a passage where Jesus sends out the 12 to actually go start doing what he's been doing. And so I'm going to read some of that, and then Christy and I are just going to have a conversation about it and unpack it, and hopefully that's helpful. Nobody
me
chuckled.
Too.
Yeah.
I'll laugh. Yeah. I'm laughing with you. Okay, here we go.
I was laughing on the inside.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35, it goes like this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 he sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. And whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Let's just stop there. That's plenty to unpack in the next, 15, 20 minutes or 40 minutes or 2 hours.
Or 2 hours.
Yeah.
You got 2 or 3 hours today?
Well, the next service we got.
Yeah.
And make room for them. So here's one of the things that kind of I learned early on being part of a Vineyard church. I'd been in lots of church circles where people talk about, building their ministry or developing the thing that God had called them to do, having their ministry. But one of the things I learned early on in the Vineyard is this line that there's only one ministry, and it's the ministry of Jesus. There's only one ministry. And we're invited into the ministry of Jesus. He's the one who shows us what to do. He's the one who shows us how to do it every step of the way. There's like one thing that we're invited into, and it's his ministry.
Yeah.
Right?
It's quite amazing, actually. So the a lot of things in the kingdom of God are invitations. So you even being here this morning, there's like invitations that God's inviting you into. And the kingdom is one of the greatest invitations that we have to be able to be a part of the greatest thing that's happening really on the face of the earth. It's really advancing God's kingdom and taking back what belongs to Jesus. So it's a wonderful invitation.
And I love the way that Jesus shows us a model of how to do this. And you look back at the beginning of this passage, he goes to all the towns and villages. There's different kinds of people that live in towns versus villages, right? Yeah. There's different kinds of people that live urban centers versus rural communities.
Yeah.
And Jesus goes to all of them. They're all like equally important to him.
Yeah.
And so I love the way that he goes to all the different kinds of people. And then I also love the way that he has this incredibly kind of well-balanced thing that he's doing. He is teaching about the kingdom. He's teaching through the Old Testament and showing them how God's rule and reign actually impacts life. Mm. But then he's doing the kingdom.
Yeah.
Like he's healing the sick and he raises the dead and he's cleansing those who have leprosy.
Yeah.
Like he's doing all the different kinds of things.
Yeah.
Plus he's talking about it. And
yeah.
I just like that kind of to everybody, like yeah. with the whole package kind
yeah.
of thing.
Like it's all inclusive. So it's an invitation. But I think the really, really important thing to remember about the ministry of Jesus and the invitation to it is that, you know, it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter even what you've done. It's all inclusive. So this is for all of us. And I love that. I love that he invites all of us into that.
Yeah.
And then I love the model of how he does it because Jesus is so provisional where he shows us how to walk this out. It's so practical. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I like it too.
Yeah. Well, you do it. Yeah. You give your life to it.
So one of the things that this began to like practical application called up for me is that oftentimes in the scriptures, we, the church, Greek word ekklesia, I mean the gathering of the followers of Jesus, oftentimes we are called the body of Christ. Mm. Like we're the body of Christ. Like we are the way, filled with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is living this ministry out today.
Yeah.
Like he's empowering us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's the one like living this thing out through us. We're the body of Christ in this whole deal. And like and it's the same thing that he does here. So like he asks his disciples. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful." And I love that. Like the harvest is plentiful. That's such a positive outlook
yeah.
on life and what's going on. I don't know if you've ever been in a setting. Maybe it's a church or a politically charged environment where everybody's just talking about this is the worst time in the world to be alive.
Yeah.
I think it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
I think this is like the best time in human history to be alive. I mean, dude, I get to carry a computer around in my pocket that tells me, like, I found a new app what do they call it? They call it hyper-local weather.
Hyper.
Like, hyper. Like, right. I can tell within a
that
minute
says the
when it's going to start raining.
The people that click on hyper kind of says something in itself, huh?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Wait,
yeah, me neither, actually.
I want one of the. I just learned about those new spinner things that the junior hires all have, middle schoolers have.
No, I haven't seen that
oh,
yet.
Oh, man, I want one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
Speaking of hyper.
Like distraction.
Exactly.
Squirrel. Yeah.
Anyway, so I love that this kind of positive outlook.
Yeah.
The harvest is plentiful. And Jesus says that over and over yeah. again. You know, the fields are white for harvest. Like, God's yeah. doing stuff right
He's
now
doing
today.
Stuff.
And we get to be involved in it. And so yeah. then he asks the disciples, pray for workers.
Yeah.
He just asks them, pray for workers. He doesn't say, come up with a 5-year plan and do all this stuff. He goes, why don't you guys pray for workers?
Yeah.
And then he turns right around and he invites them to do it. Like chapter 10, verse 1, like follows right after chapter 9, verse 38. And there were no original breaks, verses, or chapters yeah. when Matthew wrote this. It's like Jesus said, hey, why don't you guys pray about it? And then he goes, okay, 12 of you guys, come over here. And he gives them authority to drive out impure spirits, heal every disease and sickness. Like, this is, everybody gets to do this stuff.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
We're all invited
amazing.
Into it.
Yep, all inclusive, as you go. The kingdom of God in your life. It's God's kingdom inside of you that gets released through you. And so the kingdom is about going. So as we go through life, it being all inclusive, what I love about what Jesus has modeled for us is that as we're going, it's just living it out. It's just being naturally supernatural everywhere we go that we get to be a part of something that's so great.
So like, talk to me a little bit. You've planted a church in Yorba Linda that you're
yep.
pastoring right now.
Yep.
It's like, talk to me a little bit about how you've taught people how to be like just naturally supernatural everywhere.
Yeah,
they go.
I mean, I've literally just taken the Bible and followed that because I think if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And, you know, Jesus modeled where it is this invitation to come in, but then also to participate. So it's accepting the invitation of Christ, but then coming right along and actually participating in this. So the great invitation is that you get to do this. this. This is not about getting all your life together. It's as you go, as God heals you. That's the sanctification, right, of following Christ. That as you're following him, that you get to pray for people. You get to minister to people. You get to bring deliverance to people. And there's something that happens, I think, that in ministry and in God's kingdom, that our healing is found not in just ministering to other people, that we do for them and they get healing, but when we pray for other people, it heals us. It does something in us. So when you do outreach or you pray for somebody, does it not change you in some way?
It changes you completely. Inside. I remember one of the first times I was invited into this, I went to like a little vineyard conference. It was down in southeast Minneapolis. Uh-huh. And there's a guy named Steve Nicholson, and he was there kind of, you know, just, and like this guy, Steve, if you ever met him, he's like one of my mentors. He's been here before and taught us, but he's like this really like uncharismatic kind of guy naturally. He's just kind of quiet, and he sometimes mumbling into the microphone and stuff like that. And then, so, but he's praying for people and like stuff is happening. Yeah. And Brenda and I had both been in this like really conservative denomination where we actually wrote like thesis papers on why the gifts of tongues isn't for today and how you might be demonized if you're speaking in tongues. Yeah. Like we came from like a very conservative kind of thing. I'm at this conference and they're teaching me how to pray for people, and I'm praying for this young guy, and I just feel like I start to hear God's voice in my head that says, pray for him for the gift of tongues. And I'm like, no freaking way, I don't even believe in that. Right? I'm feeling that way. I'm like, why would I even think that? Yeah. Like, what's going on with me? Like, I'm having a nervous biblical breakdown right now.
Breakdown.
I don't know what's happening. And so finally I just thought, well, I know how to shut this voice up. I'll pray for it. Nothing will happen. And then, you know, we'll get on with it because it's almost lunchtime. So I pray for this poor kid, and he starts speaking in tongues, and I'm like madder than a hornet going to lunch. I'm like, I'm so kind of just ticked off because like, wait a minute, I'm not even sure I buy this and it's happening.
And it's working.
And then over the course of that weekend and interacting with Steve and getting prayed for and praying for other people, God just began to align my theology with the scriptures and the stuff that he's continually invited us into in a pretty cool way. And so it does change us.
It changes
as we go out and give this stuff away. But here's the deal. We have to choose to engage in it.
Yeah, we have to choose to engage.
Because you could just walk away from that kid and go, I don't believe in that stuff. I'm not going to pray for you, loser.
Yeah. Well, you don't necessarily have to say loser, but I mean, you could just walk away.
There is that.
Yeah, there is that.
There's like
that
nicer ways to do this,
it's
right?
It's quite pastoral. But I mean, it's quite amazing in the Bible. The Apostle Paul talks about, in the book of Romans, he talks about that we're contending for the gospel. And that word contend literally means, translated, it means to engage. And I think that's very important when we talk about the ministry of Jesus, because we have to make the choice to engage. We have so many distractions in life. We have so many things that are pulling us in all kinds of different directions. And so we have to make the choice of what we're going to have be those priorities in our life. And
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Get on your phone. But distractions, he's modeling it for us, is that it's so easy to just do the things of life. It doesn't have to be sin. It's just getting distracted. And some of the things that are the most important things, we have to make the decision to make that a priority. And I think that's really important when it comes to the ministry of Jesus, that this is something that we do. This is something that's a priority in our life. And we have to engage in that. We have to be intentional with it. I think it's important.
And it's radical to think about that the creator of heaven and earth chose you to participate in this. Like, he picked you. Like, out of a lineup, he picked you to participate in this thing. And you, and you, and you.
You.
Like, he chose us to do this. He could do this any way he wants to, but he's chosen to work through us as we submit, as we surrender to him in that. And sometimes, like, we come up with all these excuses for us not participating. Like, well, I don't have everything together.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
In fact, the ones who think they do, those are the most dangerous ones.
Yeah.
Seriously, the times that I think I have it all together are the times I should just sit down and shut up. Right?
You're about to learn a lesson. Very true.
Right. Yeah. Talk about not having it all together.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's very important to realize that we are in need of a Savior. And we are in need of saving, and we are in need of deliverance, and we are in need of healing. And that's lifelong. And I think people in life, they don't identify. Like, if I just got up here and just talk about all my strengths, you would not like me. I mean, at the end of the day, people don't identify with our strengths. They identify with our weakness, and they identify with our humanity. So I think it's very important that in our life that we just share our life. And when we share our life with people, that's what opens people up to healing and to, you know, having more of Jesus or knowing Jesus, because they realize, wait, if you don't have it all together and God uses you, then maybe God will use me as well. So I think that's really the model of what we loved.
And that's like the Apostle Paul, you know, with so many of times when you read through really 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he highlights how he doesn't have this whole thing together.
Yeah,
but that in his weakness, Christ shows his strength.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's this incredible thing of don't trying to hide our weakness, but actually like live really authentically with one another and saying, you know what, here's some areas where I feel like I really don't have it all together. And then, but here's something that God's doing. Here's something that he's doing in me. Here's the way that he's working in me. So you don't have to have it all together, and you don't have to be afraid.
You don't have to be afraid. And honestly, if I could just say, even about weakness, I think there's an element of when we're weakest in the flesh, we're strongest in the spirit, because we have to rely on Jesus.
Yeah.
So there is an element of when we're weak, it's not something to hide. It's actually something that we can get more strengthened by Christ, so that we can do the things that he's invited us into. So we don't have to be afraid. And I love that. I love that God is provisional, that he says you don't have to operate, you don't have to live, you don't have to minister out of fear.
Yeah, and he says that right in this passage. Don't be afraid even when they arrest you. Don't worry about what to say or how to say it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's so funny, isn't it? We're in the provision of Jesus that he warns us. Pastorally, one of the things that surprises me, you know, through the years of where I'm pastoring, leading or whatever, is people being so surprised when they've encountered hardship or where it's been a little bit more difficult, where they thought their life would, you know, I've said yes to Jesus, therefore my life should be easier. But there is no promise of that in the Bible, right?
No.
There is no promise of that, but the promise of what we have is Jesus. The promise of what we have is that we're not alone. The promise of what we have is that we have a power. The promise of what we have is that we have Jesus who's going to walk alongside of us.
Yeah.
So we have all these wonderful promises, but Jesus said, hey, listen, if you say yes to me, this might cost you. You might lose some friends. You might lose some family. You might lose some money. You could get arrested. You know, I mean, probably not in our day in this country, but other countries, you know, people getting martyred all the time for their faith. So I think it's important that we realize, wait a second, this is not free because it's so valuable. Being a part of God's kingdom costs us something. Our sacrifice of our own pride, our sacrifice of our own power, and our own sort of relying upon ourselves, because it's so valuable.
Well, when we have that position where we're relying on ourselves, ourselves is all we got.
Yep.
I don't know if you've looked in a mirror lately, but that doesn't add up to much.
Doesn't add up to much.
I love you guys, but that doesn't add up to a lot. But when you put yourself in a position of dependency on God, then now you got a lot more than just yourself. Yeah. You have Almighty Creator God with you, his presence with you.
Yeah.
So I love John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble.
Right. Yeah,
I added the laugh. but then it says, right after that laugh, it says, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
Yeah,
so
I love that verse, because it says that things are going to come at you, but they're not going to overcome you. That's what I love. Because sometimes when you're in it, you feel like this thing is going to kill me. And the promise is that God says that's actually not going to overcome you. It's going to come at you, but it's not. It doesn't have the power to overcome you.
Did that's you just make that up? Because that's really tweetable.
No, that's in the Bible, Michael.
I love that.
I literally love that verse, because there's so many things coming at me.
Yeah.
And I feel sometimes like I'm drowning.
Yeah.
And so the promise that, wait a second, if I rely on Jesus, this thing is not going to overcome me no matter how I'm feeling.
That's good.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the last part of our conversation here. We have to know what God's given to us.
Yeah.
He's sending us out. He's empowering us. He's equipping us.
Yes.
He's sending us out. We have to know like what we're taking with us.
Right. So this is, again, the provision of Jesus. So he's given you two different things when he sends us out. He doesn't just send us out on our own. He gives us an authority and he gives us power. The word authority, and it talks about it in Matthew 28, that Jesus says, I give you all authority. It comes from the word exousia, and it means it's not an authority actually where we dominate people. It's an authority where we don't have to fear the enemy. So it's very healthy actually. And then God gives us a power, and the word power actually comes from the word dunamis, and that means dynamite. So God's given us all of this authority and all of this dynamite power over the enemy. So we don't have to fear the enemy. We don't have to fear what man can do to us. And so even when Jesus says, you know, I'm sending you, you know, among the wolves, wolves are never people. So it's not like he's sending us to, you know, people that are enemies. There's only one enemy. And we have to remember that, because sometimes people make that hard, don't they? They make it hard to separate that they're not the enemy. But people are never the enemy. We only have one enemy. And we need a wisdom as we minister, because God has given us great authority, but with that power, if power is not directed in the right way, it can do a lot of damage. So it's almost like where God's given us these two tools that are so important, because we need authority.
Yeah.
We need to know what God's given, empowered us with, but we also need to know that we don't have to fear, you know, we don't have to fear the enemy. We don't have to fear what he throws at us. We don't have to fear disease. We don't have to fear the opposition. We don't have to fear of being overcome because of that power that, Christ has put inside of us.
And then the thing that we bring with us, it comes up in this passage, and then a parallel passage is Luke chapter 10. They're easy to remember because it's Matthew 10, Luke 10. In Luke 10, he's sending out the 72, and he makes it explicitly clear in that passage that the thing that we bring with us is the peace.
Yeah.
We bring with us the shalom of God, like everywhere we go. And he says, like, if that place that you're at is deserving, if they're receptive to what you're saying, to what you're bringing, then let God's peace, the peace that you bring because of the presence of Christ, because the presence of our Heavenly Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, then, like, we share that peace. That's the thing that we bring with us.
Yeah, it's on us, and it's in us because we follow the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
So everywhere we go, peace is on our life. I also think that's a great reminder that sometimes when we share our faith, people don't want it. And Jesus has even been provisional in this, where he says, if people don't want what you have, just shake it off. You know, don't let that keep you from sharing to other people.
I just heard Taylor Swift.
You just heard Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, okay, what song? Are you going to sing it for us?
No,
we're
going
to break out in
song. Is it that? Shake it off?
Shake it off, shake it off.
Yeah.
I don't know, Michael. I don't listen to secular music. That's a big joke, actually.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a lie right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, the peace of God is so powerful, because at the end of the day, a life without peace is no life at all.
Yeah.
And so we have peace. And the Bible talks about the people that don't know Jesus have never encountered true peace. Mm. So peace is powerful, because peace is God's presence on us. And so everywhere we go, even if people don't want what we have, it's a model of just saying, don't let that keep you from sharing your faith to other people. Don't let that stop you from praying for the sick. Don't stop reaching out, because the people around you, and we tend to focus on the people around us, you know what I mean, all the time. Don't let it hold you back because the people that you've tried to minister to have rejected it.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots and lots of people around us that absolutely want and need and are dying for what we have.
That's really good.
Focus there.
And I like the way that when he's talking in verse 9 about don't take any gold, silver, copper, don't take an extra shirt, don't take extra shoes. What he's saying is go in a position of humility, where you're allowing other people to serve you. You're not just showing up with all the goods and all the stuff, and you're just like giving it out like Santa Claus. But you go in a place and you're letting other people serve you. You're going in a place of reverse hospitality, where you're letting them be hospitable to you. And then the thing that you bring, the gift that you bring, is the peace of God, is the peace of Christ.
Yeah.
It's the shalom. What would it look like for you, instead of being like, you know, the answer woman, the answer man to everything going on in the world, what would it look like for you to be the most peaceful presence in every room or in every relationship that you have? Like, to actually bring the peace of Christ, because you're walking in his authority.
Yeah.
His power is available. The kingdom of God, his rule and reign, really is within reach. It's within grasp, right? What would it look like for you to be the most peaceful person in every room that you walk into, because the presence of Christ indwells you?
Yeah.
That's what we're invited into.
Yeah.
Like, that's who we are. I love that.
I love
kind
that
of picture
too.
Of that.
Yeah. It's powerful, actually.
It is. Mm. Any last words for us? And now we're going to do some baptisms.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think of what you're talking about. We have to remember that people around us are mostly living in chaos. Their souls are in chaos. Their life is in chaos. And so people need peace. So the power of you even giving that picture of every room you walk into, every family relationship that you walk into, every business situation, everything in your life, you have this power inside of you that has power over every other power. And so that peace changes everything. That's why it's important that we understand it's not even about what we say, it's just about being. It's just about recognizing God's presence already on us. Very important.
Yeah, that's good.
Powerful.
Boom. Who wants more of that?
Who wants more of that? Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I think we have some folks that are getting baptized this morning, and I'm going to invite you to come right up here in the front. Just stand right up here along here, and we're going to baptize some folks. Baptism is this picture. Come on up here, you guys. Baptism is this really cool picture of following Jesus, being obedient to Jesus. And Romans chapter 6 lays this out. The Apostle Paul lays it out very clearly, where he's talking about in baptism, what we're doing is we're identifying with Jesus. We're identifying with him in his death. We're like going under the water. We're like, it's a picture of going into the grave, dying to ourselves, and then coming up out of the water, being risen to new life in Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was baptized by his cousin John. Followers of Jesus have been baptized in part of the community, as part of the church for the last couple thousand years. If you're a follower of Jesus here today and you've never been baptized, like, we just invite you to explore this with us in baptism. It's this great picture, not only of that life and death of Jesus, but it's this great picture of him actually washing our sins away. It's like, you know, taking a bath in front of everybody with your clothes on. But what you're doing is you're experiencing Jesus kind of washing away some of the addictive, the controlling behaviors of your life. The Holy Spirit just kind of fills us in kind of a fresh way when we take a step of faith and we obey Jesus in this way. And so we're inviting some of the students are coming in. They're going to hang out with us. These guys are being baptized. And I think I have some baptism questions to read to us have been read over followers of Jesus for the last couple thousand years. These guys have attended kind of a baptism course. They've been taught about this stuff. This is like a really sweet, cool deal. Can we just express gratitude and thanks? Would you guys just give them a round of applause for taking this risk? This is really cool. We are so thankful to be your family, part of the body of Christ with you, and kind of welcome you into the family. Baptism is a thing that we do once. It's kind of entrance into the family. Communion is our family meal. We do that pretty much every time we get together. And so I've got these four questions that I want to read and kind of invite you guys into responding to these. The first one is this. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord and King, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life and grace?
Yes.
Wonderful. Do you also renounce Satan and all of his works and all of his ways? And then thirdly, do you confess your need for the forgiveness of sins and with a humble heart put your hope in God's mercy and your whole trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Wonderful. And then lastly, with his help, do you seek to follow him, becoming more and more like him until finally we get to see him face to face? Amen. Let me pray for you guys. And then we're going to do some baptisms here today. And if you're here today and you've never been baptized and the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you, just come on up here. And once we get started, and you can talk to John or Brian, and I think we have like a change of clothes for you and some other stuff. And so if that's something that you would like to do, we would love to just walk you through that and participate with you in this. So let me pray for these guys. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the way that you invite us to follow you. You invite us to proclaim that publicly, to make that like a solid place in our lives for the rest of our lives. And we right now, as it were, just put like a flag down like in the land. We say, yes, I'm following Jesus. Like, he is central and main part of my life. And I ask that as we baptize these folks this morning, Lord, would you fill them with your Spirit just afresh? Would you allow them to experience life the way that you created it to be? We just thank you, God. We thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.